Anyone refusing to walk through the gate into a sheepfold who sneaks over the wall must surely be a thief. For a shepherd comes through the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run from him, for they don't recognize his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what it meant. So he explained it to them. "I am the gate for the sheep," he said. "All others who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in by way of the gate will be saved, and will go in and out and find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. It's not very long since I last spoke about this. I was looking back the other day, and it wasn't John 10, but it was certainly about the shepherd and the sheep. So I've gone at a slightly different angle this morning. And I'm going to start with a story about a famous actor who was the guest of honour at a social gathering. And as people gathered round, they asked the actor to recite excerpts from various literary works. He obliged, of course, and he did so brilliantly. Finally, an elderly pastor asked the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. And the actor did hesitate at first, and then agreed on one condition, that the pastor return the favour. The actor's recitation, of course, was absolutely brilliant and eloquent. People responded with lengthy applause. The pastor's rendition was feeble and frail, but when he had finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And finally, after a silence, the actor broke the silence and said, "I know the psalm. The pastor knows the shepherd." To my dachshund Pippin, I'm his shepherd. Small letters. Ken and I were walking the dogs the other day, around what is called in our park Monk's Meadow. It's a circular track with paths cutting across and lots of trees that are only about 10 to 15 years old because it hasn't been planted for very long. Ken was ahead with Jess and Pip, and I'm much slower, so I was behind. And so I decided to cut across one of the paths to meet them on the other side. And as I did so, I saw Pippin stop, look behind, not see me, do an abrupt turn about, round and round, she's very good at that, and then come running towards me when he finally saw where I was. I'm the only shepherd Pippin has. And if he loses sight of me, there's panic. Jesus is the only shepherd I have, and if I lose sight of him, I panic. He's my shepherd. How blessed am I? How blessed are you that he's your shepherd too? We need never lose sight of him, because he is always there. We can get up every morning in this unpredictable, often terrifying world because we know there is someone who cares about us and knows what is best for us. Yes, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. If he provides for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, will he not also provide for you, O you of little faith? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, he is all I need. The Lord is my shepherd, and he will lead me home. For almost 10 years now, a group of Christians have gathered on Sunday mornings at a plaza along the United States-Mexico border. They share worship and they share communion either side of the wall. This information comes from a visitor to that community last year who has written an article about it. And apparently, this border church has managed to survive every obstacle that the US Border Patrol and shifting US-Mexico relations have thrown at it. If, for example, the Border Patrol won't allow the two sides to stand close enough together to hear each other, they will stand 50 feet apart and conduct worship over cell phones. If the participants are forbidden to pass food and drink through the fence, they practice what they call sacramental solidarity and serve parallel Eucharists on either side. Some years ago, the border fence, the chain link border fence as it was then, gave way to a steel barrier. And worshippers continued still to pass peace across the border, little finger to little finger, or as the article that I read said, pinky to pinky, but I don't call my little finger a pinky. It's very much an American thing. Even today, under still COVID lockdown, the church meets via Zoom and Facebook Live. They know their shepherd. They want to worship their shepherd, and they want to worship their shepherd together. How amazing this determination for these Christians to meet and worship together despite being separated by a metal wall. They are the shepherd's people. They are the sheep of his pasture. Traditionally, it's the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. We're actually having it a week early. And the lectionary offers us a very strong and layered passage. And if we read these 10 verses from John, we're given sheep, a sheepfold, a shepherd, a gatekeeper, sneaky thieves and strangers. A lot of different people. And at one point the gospel writer comes out and says, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Well, actually, I'm not quite surprised that they didn't understand what he was saying. It's very complicated. And I've always read this as a story which Jesus tells about himself. But reading it through, as you do have to if you're going to talk about it, it's not just Jesus talking about himself. What does Jesus mean? Is the sheepfold supposed to be heaven? Is it the church? Is it our hearts? Is the gatekeeper God? Or the Holy Spirit? Or Jesus himself? Who or what are the thieves and bandits? Are they different from the strangers? How can Jesus be the gatekeeper if he's the gate? That's what he says he is, twice. Actually, how can he be the gatekeeper or the gate if he's the shepherd? And are we automatically supposed to accept that we are inside the sheepfold? That we are never the sheep who heed the stranger's voice, or the ones who might try to jump over the fence rather than entering through the gate? Are we those who will follow the lead of the shepherd, irrespective of where it is that he asks us to go? This is Jesus revealed, this passage. I am the gate. Not the wall, the barrier, the dividing line. I am not that which separates, isolates, or incarcerates. I am the gate, the door, the opening, the passageway to where freedom and safety begins. One of my commentaries pointed me to Ezekiel 34. I'm not very familiar with Ezekiel, and haven't, to the best of my knowledge, studied it in any great depth. However, the allegory, the main idea of John 10, is said to be the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. So I read it. And it's wonderful. Listen to the words from Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 1 to 6. God's message came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd leaders of Israel. Yes, prophesy. Tell these shepherds, God the Master says doom to you shepherds of Israel, feeding your own mouths. Aren't shepherds supposed to feed sheep? You drink the milk, you make clothes from the wool, you roast the meat, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't build up the weak ones. You don't heal the sick. You don't doctor the injured. You don't go after the strays. You don't look for the lost. You bully and badger them. And now they're scattered every which way because there was no shepherd. They are scattered and easy pickings for wolves and coyotes. My sheep are scattered, exposed and vulnerable across mountains and hills. My sheep, scattered all over the world, and no one looking out for them. And he goes on in verse 10 to say, watch out, I am coming down on the shepherds and taking my sheep back. No more shepherds who just feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their greed. From now on, I myself am the shepherd. Now, I thought that was a wonderful chapter, and I really delighted in reading it. God is saying what he will do and what he will be. And then in our passage today, we have Jesus saying what he is and what he will do. I am the gate, not I am the wall, as in the US-Mexico border, but I am the gate for those who wish to go in and out. A choice whether to accept or reject the offer. Jesus makes this offer to us, all of us, every single one. And I am aware that this chapter of John's Gospel causes problems. It can be seen as an exclusive text, a choice whether to accept or reject the offer Jesus makes to all of us. It's all about who is in or out when it comes to God and his flock. It's rather similar to the sheep and goats parable. And I've never particularly cared for that one either, because I don't see why goats should be other than as good as sheep. But it is a parable, and therefore it's a good story. We need to remember, we Christians, that it's Jesus who is the gate, not us, and that gatekeeping is not our job. At the end of her article about the church along the wall, Amy Freikholm, the lass who went and visited and wrote the article, she quotes from one of the founders of this church along the wall, who shows up still every single Sunday to demonstrate the true nature of that border. Not a place of crime, fear, and hopelessness, but a place of encounter, exchange, friendship, and fellowship. We don't have a wall. Fortunately, we don't have a wall. But we have the encounter, the exchange, the friendship, and the fellowship, because we can come here together and worship together and know together that Jesus is our shepherd. These worshippers along the wall make it their practice to see Jesus as the gate, unlocked, wide open, inviting, and free. This is how we need to see him. And as he says at the end of the reading, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness.